Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Listen now to the song as it's sung. Reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did thou not sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy have done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then, going on to the explanation of the parable in verse 36, Then sent Jesus the multitudes away, and went into his house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray that we will have ears to hear God's holy word from the mouth of Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, help us to hallow thy name and want thy kingdom to come, not just in other ways than our own, but in our own life, in our own homes, in our own churches. And then, Father, that there will be salt and light for the rest of the nation and the rest of the world. We pray that we might have reviving in the church. We pray also there might be an adding to instead of a taking away, as so many seem to be leaving not only thy word, but even the church as well. We pray that we might be more alarmed, more troubled, realizing the ways of sin, the ways of disobedience, the ways of unbelief that are so much prevailing, that we might see that we are in such a time, as Paul could describe, perilous times, when men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, false accusers. All these things, Father, are taking place. We pray that we might see it rightly and know it. But as in our own life, we pray that thou wilt, in thy love, chasten and rebuke us, as thou dost speak to one of the churches in Asia. And we pray that we might have that love and not be left to ourselves, that we may not be given over to a reprobate mind, that we do not think rightly at all, only thinking good is evil and evil is good. We pray, Father, for both awakening in the church and also that more laborers will be called to go into all the world to soon preach the gospel to every creature, that repentance and remission of sins might be preached among all nations. And then again, as thou hast commanded, beginning at Jerusalem, we pray it might be in that city in Israel, but also, Father, in our Jerusalem, our homes. We pray for these blessings first. We also pray for the temporal blessings needed of those that are suffering in sickness, injury, those that are homeless and hunger, those that have suffered in the ravages of storm, some with flood, earthquakes, fire, wind, all these calamities, some the terribleness of war, others in persecution. We pray for all of them. We pray for the elderly, the lonesome. We pray, Father, that all of these might be able to cast their care on thee, knowing that thou dost care for them, and not ask why these things happen, but what we must learn through them, especially the brevity of life, the certainty of death, and thy return, all in thy name. Amen. As we have this parable, the parable that speaks of time, it speaks of what is going on now. We read, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. It's much like the earlier part of this 13th chapter, where we have the parable of the sower going forth to sow, the seed falling on different kinds of ground, and Christ likening that to the different kinds of hearers. Some, the wayside hearer, the shallow ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and the good ground hearer. Here we have only two kinds. One, tares, but not from the good seed. An enemy comes in and sows while men slept, and sows tares among the wheat. Yes, we have a shortcoming on the word itself, as the parable of the sower shows. I know it for myself. Oh, through a number of years before I believed, the whole counsel of God against myself. What a sinner I was. I did not believe it. And that needs to be believed in repentance before we will be ready to look to Him who had to die for us. Often we have a mixture of our own works and His, and that is not salvation. Salvation is alone in the One who had to die in our place, and we are worthy of death in all things. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And when we have the good seed that tells us these things, it calls us to repentance. It calls us to faith. And when we do have true repentance and true faith, and I want to emphasize true, because we've been thinking about that, what Christ says is true. He doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't lessen. He says the truth. That we must believe in its fullness. And that is repentance. And when we know the truth, we will know what sinners we are. Like David described himself in a horrible pit in the miry clay. Paul, after hearing the word of God, said, "And I died." And even after that, he called himself a wretched sinner, the chief of sinners. He knew that from the word. And then there is the word of the gospel, the good news, to tell us that there is a way of deliverance, a way of salvation, a way that every one of us need, and many aspects of it. Not only repentance, faith, what we experience, but also the things that, as Christ said, of the new birth. It's like the wind. You know not whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When he spoke to Nicodemus, and he told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We have to be born of the Spirit before we will see what Christ said here. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Do you know that the Word of God is good, very good, only good in every aspect? It's good when it speaks of creation. It's not a myth. How terrible to speak like that of the good seed. The law, Paul says, is just and holy and good. Not that we can gain heaven by it. We could if we loved as the law tells us to, but we don't. It tells us we sin. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And it's good in that way, humbling us, calling us, turning us, bringing us to submission to God in His Word. The gospel is often described as good news. Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. When we preach that word, we have to be very careful that we don't spoil the good seed, that we don't add to it or take away from it or wrest it, as Peter describes it, to our own destruction. If that is done, it sadly will involve others as well. As Christ said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. The leader, the follower. We have to be very careful. The Lord Jesus said of those in His day, you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. And that is done today. That's why we have so many different churches and denominations, so many different views, even amongst a church. One will have this view, one will that, in the same church. More and more today. We are even described as believing in old wise fables, as Paul writes to Timothy, instead of believing this good seed, this good word. And it's for today. Today, if you hear my voice, the Lord Jesus said, as well as Moses wrote it, Paul said it, but all of them were witnesses of Christ. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. But it's not only for today. We must hear it today, so we will be ready tomorrow. And that's what Christ is speaking of here. He said, at the end of the world, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of this world. We are a week closer today than we were last week, if you listened. I am 89 years closer than when I was born to the end. Whether it'll come in my day or not, I do not know. But it will come. That is the truth. That is a part of the kingdom. That is when the kingdom will be so wonderfully and fully seen and known and experienced. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. The kingdom, spoken of in so many ways. The kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like that. The kingdom is not here. It is not there. And here it says, he will gather out of his kingdom all that offend. They will be there. The tares, as well as the wheat or the grain. All things that offend, that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here Christ is giving those words in his ministry here on earth. Later he speaks from heaven to John, telling him to write to the seven churches in Asia. And every one of those letters ends with those words, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Yes, God speaks to us by his word. That good seed. Part of that seed is, as Christ said, to the Laodicean church, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. How we need it. How that is also good seed. And it's good for us when we are not good. But it can make us good. It can make us prepared for that great and glorious day when Christ comes again. Either taking us out of our graves, or we will see him coming on the clouds of glory. I'd like to read at this time a view of the kingdom of Christ by William Williams. The whole book is a book of verses. Hope you can bear with me and hope you'll get a blessing from it, as I'm sure many did. He wrote in the 1700s. Someone translated it into the English in the 1800s. And now here we are, these many years later, and still can read it, and it's up to date. We may believe it agrees with the Word of God, and then it is good. The great day, it is called, the greatest ever known since heaven and earth and perdition had their existence shown, a day admired by angels and which devils dread, beholding it approaching from far, fresh wrath to spread. Deep terror, fear, and sorrow will the vast earth invade, and trembling unexampled, all in the world pervade. Creation's pillars tottering and falling from its place, all nature in confusion when it beholds his face. The great God wearing manhood comes with wrath to behold and pass a fearful sentence on the ungodly world, the faithful to deliver, who in a chain were bound, by death were held without mercy, laying in the ground. Out of this golden palace, our Jesus forth will shine, the place where interceding, since man fell into sin. Armies succeeding, armies of heaven's pure angels came. Host leading host unnumbered will form his glorious train. They'll raise a shout when issuing down from heaven's sacred place, that in a moment's travel throughout the eternal space, until the raging ocean, each valley and each hill, like leaves before the tempest, scarce ever cease to trail. Not one of the seamen in tedious storms has been in thousands of perils, but now some land have seen, or when a thousand thousands of warriors without fear shout rushing into the battle as if no harm were near. And then the host descending, their monarch in their midst, though distance which no mortals could measure if they list, down passing all the planets and countless stars of night, behold the bright orbit with our dark earth in sight, where the archangel mighty will with a golden trumpet sound, and in less than a moment the spacious earth surround, the risen ones to gather and bring with one accord to meet the welcome Jesus, their sovereign Lord. 'Tis effect seen will be various and variously be felt, some blackening and fading, some as water melt. But leaping and rejoicing, with rapture some will cry, behold now, our salvation at length is drawing nigh. The devils all will tremble with fear and boundless ire, hell flaming and its summit with fierce eternal fire. Flee, wailing, teeth grinding, not one can be lost, of men or fallen angels to judgment come all must. And then the mighty monarch will by his word alone heirs for his purpose a glorious, peerless throne. On vacancy suspended within eternal space, angels, archangels, countless around the sacred place. He seated high in glory upon his great white throne, o'er all that was created, the head himself alone. Of melting fire a river from the throne ever flows in heavy indignation against his stubborn foes. The judge, now more resplendent than on a mountain's brow, when suddenly transfigured his robes of veil the snow, a thousandfold the glorious heaven's monarch now shall wear he wore of old in Patmos, as John beheld him there. When his voice, like mighty deep thunder, or trumpet sounding high, and vast waves of ocean, whose sound with these would vie, whose robe low to the ankles, his hair resembling snow, bound with a golden girdle, his eyes a fiery glow, the wheels beneath his chariot a fiery flame define, his legs their shining reflecting with purest brass refine, thousands of thousands guarding in rank around the throne, while at their monarch gazing all their submission own. A thousand times more splendid heaven's prince now appears, incomparable glory around his person bare. The empires and mighty with one accord began to tremble at the presence of Christ, the Son of Man. Are you ready for that day? It's going to come. It's truth. It's the kingdom of God manifest. It is, as he said in his word, the good seed to prepare us for that day. Some will heed it, some will not. Those that believe will enter in to the place that he has prepared. Others will, as we read here, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and then they do iniquity. As I said a week or so ago, we read earlier in this chapter, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Some would say that some of those birds are right and some wrong. Those that are wrong would be the things that we read here, gather out of his kingdom all that offend. And then that solemn word shall cast them into a furnace of fire. But there is a way to prepare, a right way. I have a story here of a person that was written about. He could do very little, and he walked around amongst others. And when it came one time to the Lord's Day, when they're going to have the Lord's Supper, he wanted to partake. But the minister was quite busy to be disturbed by that simple youth. He strove to put him off as gently as possible. But this young boy, we don't know how old, his name was Yeti, pleaded, "O minister, if you knew how I loved him, you would let me come to sit at the table." This so touched his heart that permission was given for Yeti to take his seat with the rest. And he took it. And through the afternoon, he told others to just leave him alone. He said, "Don't talk to me today. Yeti has seen the face of the Lord Jesus." He says he got a smile from him, his eye, and a word from his tongue. And he's afeard to speak, lest he lose the memory of it. "I have seen this day what I never seen before. I have seen with these dull eyes yon lovely man. Let me speak, but just leave poor Yeti to his company." At night, he reached the home where he lived with his grandmother. He wanted no supper. He just said, "Let me go." He spoke some kind words to her to show that he was not out of sort. "But leave me be, no supper." He climbed up his ladder to the loft and was heard speaking to the Lord Jesus, "Yon lovely Lord, yon lovely Lord." In the morning, he didn't come down. His grandmother thought she would wait, and they found him gone to yon lovely Lord. He had been transported. He wanted to see him in this life by faith, and he did. He could speak of yon lovely Lord. "Have you seen him? Do you know him?" The Lord Jesus himself said, "This is eternal life, that we might know thee," speaking to the Father, "the only true God." Yes, the only true God, the Creator, the Lawgiver, and the one who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.